For 2 months now, we've been travelling with Dave and Cara through the eastern states, hearing each week from Dave and his charity partners about the work happening in these communities and the impact the Smoke and Soul project is having on the ground. This week gave us a powerful reminder of why this project matters. Dave met a man whose story moved him to tears, and he tells us it's an encounter he'll never forget. Welcome, this is week 7 of the Smoke and Soul project. Dave, Cara and the girls visit Toowoomba in Queensland and Tamworth in New South Wales. Dave's partners this week are Toowoomba Homeless Outreach and the Beacon Truck in Tamworth. A big thanks to everyone who has contributed to the Smoke and Soul project and to the Smoke and Soul sponsors, Phantom Screens, Charcoal Kings, Lane's Barbecue, Just Tinted and Ampol Australia with their Ampol Cash Fuel Card. I'm Wallace Long. Dave joins me after this. Dave, it's hard to believe we're into week 7 of the Smoke and Soul project. It feels not that long ago that we were talking about week 1.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's really odd because it's flown. It's gone by so fast, but Cara and I were only sort of speaking earlier about how, you know, even though this has gone really fast, we look back at, say, the Hamilton service, and the Hamilton service seems like ages ago. You know, lots has happened since, you know, since Hamilton, and you know, and also since Adelaide. As I said, it is a bit odd because it has flown, but then we look back at everything that we've, every town that we've been to, everything we've seen, and it's we've seen a lot, you know, and obviously experienced a lot.
Shall we start off with the Toowoomba service?
Yeah, absolutely. So as we left Maryborough, you know, that was our highest point, as I've said in the past, you know, we started to head home. We took roughly a 3.5 hour trip southwest, and we arrived at Toowoomba late on a Saturday afternoon. We had a barbecue booked in there for early on Monday morning. So I was fortunate that we were able to speak to Damien from the Toowoomba Homeless Outreach. So yeah, we spoke to him actually on the road heading south, and he had said that they, you know, had organised to, you know, him and his lovely wife had organised to take us out for lunch, which you know, we were sort of really shocked actually, because we haven't sort of had that anywhere else. And so we arranged to catch up with them on the Sunday, sort of like late morning. And yeah, we caught up with Damien and his wife Katrin on Sunday just before lunch. Their, you know, firstly, their, you know, hospitality was just unreal. You know, as I said, they took us out for lunch, absolutely refused to allow us to pay for lunch, you know, which was nice. But I guess that was just a sign of just how appreciative that they were of us being there and helping them out. They were really interested to hear everything that we had seen, where we had been, who we had fed. And also I was also interested in the, you know, the homeless situation in Toowoomba. You know, they explained to me that, you know, homelessness, as is the theme everywhere, I suppose, is homelessness there was going up and up and up. And they sort of explained that, you know, people that live in Brisbane or the Sunshine Coast, because cost of living there is going up and up, you know, people, Toowoomba's probably like the nearest main town around. And so people that are really finding it hard to afford to live in those other areas are all basically flooding in, and you know, homelessness has gone up and up. They're just, you know, they're just doing their best to feed as many people as they possibly can. You know, he was explaining to us that the Toowoomba Homeless Outreach serves food every single morning, so they are serving 365 days a year, you know, which I think is just unreal. You know, lots of the other services, charities that we have partnered up, you know, with serve sort of limited hours, in the sense of some serve like Monday to Thursday, Monday to Friday. Some are just only on Saturdays, or some are only on other days. But these guys are there. They're serving food all year round, 365, which I thought was just unreal. You know, they've got about 25, I think, volunteers that they have on a regular roster. But I was just, super impressed with the fact that they were able to serve food every single morning of the year, which is huge and obviously really helpful. So I asked them about service, and he explained to me that they open early. So they start serving tea and coffee at around 7 a.m. and they do hot food from 7:30 a.m. I sort of asked, obviously, numbers, and he explained to me that they usually serve sort of 40 to 50 regularly. They've got a set clientele who are always there every morning. They've had to sort of implement rules. They were explaining to me that the best way that it works is if there's rules, and it's just simple rules they don't serve hot food. They don't do seconds of hot food until everyone has eaten. So they really make that conscious effort that everyone who's there has eaten first, and then once everyone has eaten, they'll allow you to come up for seconds. They're really strict on that. If someone comes up, if they've eaten early and they've come up for seconds and others haven't eaten yet, they're really firm on saying that you have to wait. So after lunch, they sort of offered to show us whereabouts the space is and where we'll be serving, which wasn't overly far from lunch. So we sort of followed them around the corner, and there was a park that, was in the area. We could see instantly that there was loads of tents and people sleeping rough, and, which is always hard to see. They sort of showed us the setup that they have there. They've got a kitchen, they've got a shower facility there, they've got toilets, and then they've got, sort of other bags of toiletry items that, they're able to also hand out, which is really helpful. I explained to them what I was planning on serving. I was thinking of doing, given that it was an early service, I'll do some pulled beef the afternoon before. So then I just had to heat it up the following morning, and I'll do some pulled beef tacos, which I know, we've done them lots in the past and everyone loves them. So we'll do some pulled beef tacos and some slaw, with some hash browns as well. I suppose in the, from what we saw on that Sunday afternoon, we saw there was loads of people sleeping rough, and it was predominantly younger, mixture of both, I suppose, male and female, but it was, I think the age was sort of a lot younger than we had seen in previous towns.
After the break, I catch up with Damien from Phantom Screens in this week's Sponsor Spotlight. Damien, what got you interested in the Smoke and Soul project?
Basically seeing Dave Meadows, all his posts on Instagram and Facebook, and just seeing what he's doing and helping out the homeless and the underprivileged around the country, and going on that massive journey was just very inspiring. And I just thought that was an amazing thing he's doing.
It is an amazing thing, and people like yourself who got on board early on in the piece were amazing too, because you led the way to provide him with the funds to actually get around the country and to visit 19 centres that are feeding the homeless.
Yes, I sort of saw that he was getting his donations or sponsorship, many donations through people, which was fantastic. Just the average, whether they're friends or whether they're acquaintances or just saw him on social media, and they were starting to sort of step up the amount that they were donating. And then I saw that a couple of times he sort of was a little bit down, I suppose, in the fact that the amount were coming through. And I sort of had been thinking about it for a while, and then sort of just decided to bite the bullet and got in contact with Dave and said what I'd like to do. And he came up to my place and we had a bit of a chat and things moved forward from there.
Now, you run a business called Phantom Screens. Can you tell me about that business?
So we're a manufacturing company here in South Australia that manufactures motorized outdoor blinds up to 12 meters wide and retractable door screens up to 9 meters wide for the whole country and New Zealand. And it's all based here. It's a family business and been going for 31 years. And we just sort of like to sort of help people out in our own community.
With the business, you manufacture everything in Adelaide?
We do. Yes. So we've got three factories, two for manufacturing and one for our own powder coating facility, which is called Phantom Powder Coaters. So we try and keep everything in house and source as much as we can of our materials from Australia, SA especially.
Damien, so great to meet you. And thank you so much for your time and also for supporting Dave and his mission. He's halfway through. What are you thinking the next half is going to be like for him?
I don't know how he's got it in him, to be honest. Like, just to get up every day and do that, to do it for a few days or a week in a row, that would be a stretch. But to be able to get up every day and to be able to cook all the food, have it all prepped, get up early, just to keep that happy look that he's always got going all the time, good on him.
Yeah, 100%. And thank you to you, and thanks for your time.
No, thanks so much.
So we were asked if we could possibly be at service early, 6:30 a.m., which is the earliest service that we've had. And also we were very fortunate they allowed us to use their barbecue. Just given that it was a 6:30 start and that, they expected hot food early, we just really would have been under the pump to get all of our barbecues out. We arrived early, it was freezing cold. And I suppose we immediately felt like this was a different service than what we've had in the past. It was quite a tense environment, I suppose. People were sort of up early. I guess they had barely slept because it was so freezing overnight. We fired everything up. People sort of began to come up and get their coffees early. They've got a cage set up around the service area, and that's just for safety for the volunteers. They sort of said to us that they haven't had too many issues, but there's been a few issues in the past. So for their own safety, they serve their food and tea and coffee through a cage. As I said before, they've still got shower facilities there. So, they still open it up and let people come in and have a shower. Yeah, it was quite a tense feel about this service. And it was something that we hadn't felt sort of elsewhere. We had food on at about 7 a.m. and we were all set to serve food at about 7:30. We served some pulled beef tacos, something that they don't often get to eat, or I don't think they ever get to eat. Usually they just do bacon and eggs and cereal. So for us to serve something that they don't often or ever get to eat is, everyone was really up, up and about and, happy to have us. And also they were just really interested. They were looking at the food and and asking us haven't sort of seen anything like this. What is this? Yeah. So everyone was really interested in what we were serving, and we served it up, and everyone was obviously really happy. The feedback we had was awesome, and as is with every stop, just to be able to give people a food experience and something that they haven't had is awesome. And everyone was loving it. So we catered for around 50. We served 40 meals roughly, but I think I slightly over-ordered. So I had a fair bit left over, which is okay, because I was fortunate enough to be able to give them food for them to serve another 30 to 40 people in a future service. So we left them with some tortillas, some eggs, pulled beef, which they were obviously really happy with.
Terrific, Dave. After the break, we'll be joined by Damien and Katrin from Toowoomba Homeless Outreach. Joined by Damien and Katrin from Toowoomba Homeless Outreach. Damien, Katrin, welcome to the Smoke and Soul podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Damien Catron, can you tell me about the work you do in supporting those in need in Toowoomba?
We work in a local council park called Cluely Park in the council amenities block, and we work with them, giving them breakfast every morning from 7 o'clock through till 9:30. They come to where we are. We also have hot showers and washing and drying facilities as well. So that happens every morning of the week, 7 days a week, including public holidays.
Do you have volunteers?
Yes, we've grown our volunteer numbers over the last 2 years. So we aim to have 3 volunteers work every morning. We've now got probably about 26 volunteers in total. So no one is carrying too much of a load, and that seems to be working quite well.
Dave and Cara were with you on Monday. What did them being there mean to your community?
Well, something different, and their cooking was spectacular. So our local homeless people just enjoyed it, something different from what we were able to supply. And we loved it too because we enjoyed having them there. It was a really good time.
The homeless wanted to know how often they were going to do it.
Do you feel that that meant something special to them, that they'd travelled, you know, all the way from Adelaide to spend time with them in Toowoomba?
Definitely. They were amazed that someone would do that for them. So, yes, they were very appreciative of it and thoroughly loved the food. And when they found out they were travelling around Australia doing it, they were amazed.
Damien Catron, what are you seeing in 2026 that may be different from, say, 2 years ago?
We're seeing probably more new people coming through. Some have moved on from us and other new people are coming. So the numbers haven't necessarily grown, but the faces we see are changing. We can't always explain the reason why for that. I would say we've got a lot of interest in what we do with regard to volunteers. Some people don't necessarily fully understand what's involved. So we've got legal responsibilities with regard to who we select as a volunteer. And it's just not a matter of coming down and help and serving the homeless. There's requirements for volunteers which have got to be put into place before they actually start working with us. Naturally, that does take some people by surprise.
So with the friends that you serve each week, can you describe them to me? Are they male, female, old or young?
Mainly males. We do have a few females. Actually, the last week or so, we've had new females come down, one living in her vehicle, 2 in tents, have put tents up, and different males. Some of them have gone, I refer to it as a holiday for a little while, so, but we've had others come in and take their place. So, yeah, we have a mixture. What we've been finding lately is I think they've sort of grown to trust us and know that we're not going to leave them. And they're sort of more open with us now. And, you know, we've had to work hard to get to that. You know, they keep saying, you know, how appreciative of it they are, that they know they can come down. And usually we start serving coffee at 7 o'clock. The mornings, they will tell you, have been a bit chilly the last week. So I've sort of broken my own rules, and when I've seen them, I've made them a hot cuppa. So they look for me now because they know they're going to get an early cup of coffee. So, yeah. And they enjoy that sort of thing because they feel as if someone is seeing them, that they're not being dismissed as homeless, just homeless. You're, as a lot of people refer to them, as druggies and no-hopers. They're really caring people when you get to know them, and they know that they can trust you and that you're not going to let them down like so many others have. So it takes a lot of hard work in building that trust and letting them know that they're safe there, and taking an interest and making sure that the women are safe, because the street is a very dangerous place for women. It's not a good place. So when they know they can come somewhere where they're safe and that people take an interest in them, and don't dismiss them. It makes a big difference to them.
What are the prospects for people that are homeless in Toowoomba?
Prospects with regard to accommodation are nil. There's breakfast served through us. Most services do lunch from Monday to Friday, and Tony's Kitchen does dinner. So there's no shortage of food. Life is same as anywhere else. It's really tough. There's a lot of drug use in the town, particularly where we are. It's not a safe place for families to be. The prospects are really dangerous and it gets really cold. Toowoomba has a different climate from other areas because they're up on the range and the temperatures can get really low. As in any town, it's a tough place to be. We've got our own special issues from surrounding areas.
So with regards to the services that are available to homeless people, what services are there in Toowoomba?
We've got St Vinny's Homeless Outreach Team. They work alongside us. We've got the Department of Housing Critical Response Team comes down to us on Wednesdays. But again, as I said, there's no accommodation. We have an outreach nursing staff who are designated specifically for the homeless. And they come down with us at Cooley Park on Wednesdays. So there are those services also. We have a nurse from who works in the mental health area, comes down from the base hospital, and he follows up drug-affected friends that we have on the part in the street as well. So there's sufficient services that are outreaching to the homeless to make their lives a bit easier, but it's always a difficulty with the drug use in the town. They can undermine everything we're trying to do. We're looking for ways to increase their quality of life. We're growing our community, to Toowoomba's homeless outreach. We're using what we call an alongsider plan, where this will work outside even the winter shelter program. We will, and those who are really serious about wanting to get a better life, we're walking alongside them. That's why we use that word, to help them develop some stability and hope into their life. And we have seen some success with that. We've seen people come through the homeless environment and step into a better and more healthier lifestyle. So we want to continue that and reach people who are really serious about getting some value in life. We're putting a team together to do that. We're getting grants coming into us. We're looking for an office space where we can work from. So that's our big project for the next 12 months.
If people would like to support the work that you do, how can they help?
We've got strong Christian values. Prayer is really important for us. We do have a Facebook page, Toowoomba Homeless Outreach. So if anyone would like to donate to us, our bank account details are on that Facebook page. That's another value for us. We always are searching for new volunteers. We'd love to have more emergency volunteers who we've got trained up. That is, we've realised that we've got to be seeking volunteers quite regularly just to maintain our volunteer numbers. They're probably the main three things.
Damien and Caitrin, thanks so much for your time.
No problem.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thanks. Thank
you.
Bye-bye.
Dave, Stop 16 is Tamworth. It's so great that you were able to reschedule this event. And also, it was at the time that they were holding a Connections event.
Isn't it funny how things just seem to work out? We were supposed to be in Tamworth sort of earlier in the month. And obviously, you know, we had the issues with the car and we had to sort of go further ahead and go to Coffs Harbour. I always really wanted to get to Tamworth. You know, they had been pumping it up. They'd been handing out flyers and posters and everything. And it was really hard for me to have to, you know, send him an email and say that we aren't going to be there when we were supposed to. So for me, it was just super important that we get back there and feed those people who were really looking forward to having us the first time around.
Can you tell us about the Connections event? Because it seems like a unique opportunity for all the services to connect with the people that are homeless.
We had been in touch with Sora, who offer community services in Tamworth, predominantly in the housing space. So Sora had actually said to me that it was actually better that I was coming at the end of the month because the Homeless Connect event was on, and I had obviously had no idea what that was all about and hadn't heard of that. And they explained that the Homeless Connect event was an event where all the services basically come together into one centralised hub. So it's held at the Tamworth Regional Entertainment Centre, where all the services who work with people who are struggling, and they all come together in one event where people that are homeless can come, or I should say homeless or struggling, can come and access services, you know, if they're in need. They were expecting about 1,100 people at this event. The Homeless Connect event has been going since 2013. Obviously started off back then really small. I think they only had about four or five services linking up, and now it's a huge event where there's, I think, over 50 services there and 1,100 people, you know, which it's, you know, with all these things, you know, it's excellent that there's an event like this, but it's also sad that the numbers are going up so fast that there is such a high need for this event. I was actually really fortunate enough to speak to the organizer, the founder of it, and he was just sort of explaining how it came about and, you know, how it's put together. So there's, you know, services in the space of, you know, housing, in health. There's even services that offer you, if you've lost your birth certificate, ID, flu shots, hair cuts in the large hall of, you know, the entertainment center. There was probably a good few op shops that had come together and that had, you know, that were handing out clothing. You know, I mean, you know, who else was there? I suppose Vinnie's was there, Anglicare, Salvo's, basically anyone that is offering to help anyone in need was there. And the, you know, the fantastic thing about this event is, you know, the organisers had actually been in touch with Tamworth Transport Authority, and they had arranged for free public transport. So anyone in need, if they were sort of in the outskirts of Tamworth, you know, they could easily head on in all for free. It was also at this event that I had a really good conversation with Bhavan from a business called Holistic Recovery, which deals mainly in the mental health services, but they've also branched out into setting up a food truck, which serves food to, you know, whoever's in need. And it was this food van called the Beacon Truck that I had actually paired up with for our service in Tamworth. So I had a really good chat with him about how that sort of came about, and, you know, he sort of explained that they were sitting around a fire and just thought about setting up a food service, and he said they set up the food van, and on their very first evening that they went out and served food, they only served about three people. But he said the most important thing was, you know, the consistency of being there regularly. And he said those numbers over the past few years have now gone up to about sort of 30 to 40. And so then that led me into asking him, how many people should I be expecting for our service? And he said, if you cater sort of around the 50 to 60, you know, that should be heaps. I also need to give a huge shout out to Brad from Sora Community Services. He really went out of his way at the homeless event to sort of basically take me around and introduce me to so many different people, explain, you know, who I am and why I'm here. Yeah, so I'm really thankful to him.
Now, Dave, tell us about service.
Yeah, so hectic service. Got down to Bicentennial Park, set myself up, got food on early. It was a 5 p.m. service. So I had a couple of briskets that I was planning on serving. It was freezing. Tamworth as well. It got down to -3 overnight. which was, yeah, bitterly cold. I haven't felt anything like it for ages. So, you know, always I'm always thinking about those out there sleeping rough. So I got down to Bicentennial Park at about just before 7 a.m. My aim was to get food on the fire, on the barbecue by about 7:30. And so I had everything on, and then, yeah, had a phone call from ABC Radio, who were really interested in, you know, in this story. So they came down not long after I had set everything up. So I was really fortunate to have ABC Radio there. And later on throughout service, I was so fortunate to have Channel 9 and 7 come down also, which was just awesome. Like, I know I'm just always really thankful for any media support I get to help raise awareness for, you know, for our aim to feed as many people as we can. After my conversations that I had the afternoon before with Parvin, he sort of explained that, yeah, if I could cater for around sort of 50 to 60, so I had heaps of food there. Fires were ticking along nicely, just holding a really good consistent heat. Even though it was cold early, the sun came out, and it was actually a really nice afternoon in the end.
Dave, was this the event that a gentleman walked past and asked you what you were doing and then made a donation?
Oh, yeah. So I mentioned in the vlog, I had a few people actually passing by and just asking, you know, who I am, what was happening. And then there was a young man who came by and asked who I am, what was happening. And I sort of said, oh, I'm just feeding the homeless. And he was really shocked and, you know, really happy. And then I sort of, you know, the extra layer on the story, I sort of said, oh, and I'm from Adelaide. I've come over from Adelaide. And he sort of laughed and said, I was shocked that you were feeding the homeless. But then, you know, after you said you were from Adelaide, it's like, you know, you've come all this, you know, all this way. And he was really interested in what was happening, and so thankful. He instantly hopped on our GoFundMe page and spared some of his own hard-earned, which, you know, of anyone who is willing to, you know, help us out, I'm just always thankful for. I mean, I've said it in the past, you know, cost of living is hurting everyone. So for anyone just to be walking past, see what's happening and, you know, help us out, I'm just, yeah, really humbled and really thankful as well.
Now take us to service. So you've been cooking for about 10 hours?
Yeah, so it was 5 p.m. The sun was about to set. We had all the food sorted. Holistic Recovery's Beacon truck had offered to come down and served tea and coffee and beverages for everyone. We had a good sort of 30 to 40 people there at around 5 p.m. Yeah, so we started slicing up food, slicing brisket from a food point of view, you know, super happy with how it came out. Anytime I slice into a brisket and it's just oozing, you know, I love it. It's, yeah, that feeling is, you know, never gets old. So yeah, we started to serve our barbecue boxes, saw lots of a few families come past in terms of ages. I think it was all ages, really. I can't sort of pinpoint one specific age. And also, yeah, I think a good 50-50 mixture of, like, male, female. Just lots of people that sleeping rough, either sleeping on the streets or, you know, sleeping on a friend's lounge or, you know, just simply struggling. Seeing that it was, you know, it had been freezing in Tamworth, we wanted to do sort of all hot elements. So I did obviously the barbecue brisket, We did some barbecued corn as well, and I did some roast potatoes. I did have a slaw there, which I wasn't going to do, but I did throw in a slaw just as a veggie option, because I wasn't sure if we would have any vegos, and I'm always, you know, happy to serve anyone who is not into low and slow meat. So I always have a veggie option there. So I added a slaw in sort of last minute. And yeah, I mean, they usually serve, just to give you an idea of what they usually have. I mean, they do a barbecue sort of every week, but it's only ever really, you know, snags. That's it, you know, snag and onions. And I think they do soup and just, you know, relatively simple meals. And so for us to be able to serve them a low and slow meal, you could see instantly that it really meant a lot.
Dave, that's wonderful. After the break, Barvin from the Beacon Truck will be joining us. I'm joined by Barvin from Holistic Recovery to hear about their work in Tamworth. Barvin, welcome to the Smoke and Soul podcast.
Thank you, Wallace. It's a pleasure to be here.
Barvin, can you tell me about the work you do in supporting those in need?
We essentially have a Holistic Recovery as a mental health and a disability organization. Holistic Recovery Foundation has an extension of a Beacon Truck. So Beacon Truck is our mobile soup kitchen. We support our community on every Wednesday evening between 5 p.m. to 7 p.m., where we cook a hot and nutritious meal for them, plus also giving any clothing, any hygiene kits and everything, plus also a connection. So that's what we are there for. And whoever doing tough or going through a homelessness, they can definitely come and visit us, and we support them.
And each Wednesday, how many people would you serve?
We normally have, on an average, anywhere between 40 to 50 people turn up. Some of them are regular people who often tell us that connections means a lot to them, and this is something that they quite cherish. But also now and then we do see people are sleeping through rough, or, you know, just got out of the prison and don't know where to go, and all sorts of people we see, yeah.
Dave and Cara were with you on Friday. What did them being there mean to your community?
The visit from Dave was very special, and the community response was brilliant. It's roughly about 60 people attended, and some of them were very emotional moments were there, where people were literally had tears in their eyes, and, you know, by also knowing what Dave's story is and why he's doing it. So it was a hell of experience, yes.
So, Barvin, what are you seeing in 2026 that may be different to, say, 2 years ago?
So two, I would give you probably the board's perspective, Wallace. So the first one is the problem. So the problem is that the cost of living going off the roof at the moment. So even some of the people who attend Beacon Truck, they are not necessarily homeless, but they are on a pension and they are on like a DSP, and they still struggling to meet their daily needs. So that's why they attended. So I would not say they're homeless, but kind of like it just literally put them to the risk of homelessness. So that's a one. The inflation and the housing issues has obviously created these issues in a community. But the other hand, I'm also seeing, which is quite a positive side, that a lot of organizations are being aware about this, the rising day-to-day cost. We have been reached out by, you would not believe, but like a National Australia Bank has reached out that can we come and do volunteering. Lots of schools are coming and approaching us that, hey, can we do volunteer? So I could see that in a silver lining in this one, that the community actually coming together and supporting each other. And that is an amazing spirit.
You have the Beacon Truck on a Wednesday night. For homeless people, are there other food services throughout the week in Tamworth?
There is. So this precisely we picked up our Wednesday night because that was the only night there was nothing was happening. But on Monday night, there is another church is doing a similar thing. What we do Tuesday, there is a library where another community group do a lunch in a library. Wednesday do Beacon Truck, and Thursday there's another organizations do the a food thing in a dinner the Thursday night. So yeah, there is a few services are operating, and they do a similar service to the community as well. So yeah, there are other services, and you know, Vinnie's and all are always there as well. So if people need any ad hoc help, they can also visit them. Yeah.
Now, can I just confirm it in Tamworth? Is it getting down to about 0 degrees overnight?
We do. We had a very cold night, particularly the last week was very cold. That's where we also done a bit of our blanket and a sleeping bag drive as well. And we would have literally given away about 25 sleeping bags and roughly about 30 or 40 blankets to the people who are experiencing cold. You know, it is actually, it was freezing, very cold. Yes.
If people are looking to assist you, especially with your Beacon Truck initiative, how can they help you?
They can head down to holisticrecovery.com.au in a website, and that's where we have a dedicated Beacon Truck page. So the Beacon Truck and Holistic Recovery Foundation is a charity registered ACNC. So they can make a donation, or they can reach out to me on admin@holisticrecovery.com.au as well. And whatever type of help they would like to put it forward for Beacon Truck, we can chat.
What are the key things you're looking for? Are you looking for volunteers or?
Volunteers, Touchwood, we are very blessed, Wallace. We have about 25 volunteers, and they are the backbone of what we do. And we get a couple of inquiries literally every week. So we are very blessed with the volunteers. But hey, look, more the merrier. So if someone wants to donate the time and be a volunteer, then they can also reach out to us 100%.
Bhavan, thank you so much for your time.
Pleasure, Wallace. Thank you.
Dave, Tamworth was a very busy visit for you. Tamworth Connections event, media coverage, and the food service. Was there anything else you wanted to share from your time in Tamworth?
So I had a really interesting conversation with Brad from Sora. He was explaining to me that Tamworth is really big in the meat and poultry export industry. He was sort of explaining that, you know, currently Tamworth has a population of around 75,000, and there are plans to expand the airport. Not for, you know, flying in and out of passengers, but to assist with flights in and out of Tamworth, you know, for exporting meat. And he said, so currently their population's around 75,000, and they're expecting it to expand with the, you know, the airport expansion. They're expecting it to get to around 100,000 in the, you know, the next few years. But the issue is there's a severe lack of housing for 100,000. So that, you know, that extra 25,000 that Tamworth is expecting to, you know, have in the next few years, there just isn't enough housing around for those people. So, you know, the numbers in terms of homelessness there are going to go up and up over the next few years.
And Dave, can you tell us about the man, the one who left such a mark on you?
You know, I spoke a few stops ago about about when, you know, you have a handshake and it's, you know, you can really feel it. I had a man see me at the barbecue, and this is just, yeah, this will, I think, sit forever, I think. It's probably going to be, you know, hard, you know, for me to say, because I'll get choked up again. But anyway, I'll see how I go with it. But yeah, no, this man, he came up to me and he was crying with happiness. You know, he came up and just said how happy he is to just to, you know, have a feed. He was just so happy for us being there, and you know, he was crying, and he said to me that he was really struggling, that he was really struggling mentally, financially, obviously, and you know, he was, some nights he was, you know, sleeping on the streets, some nights he was, you know, sleeping on friends' lounges. But he was just, he said he was just, he's been really flat and really struggling mentally, and just he was just standing in front of me crying, just saying how happy he feels for us to be serving him food, and just to, you know, for him to have a feed. He expressed that, you know, he was lonely, you know, he was scared, and just how much it meant that we were there serving him food. And I guess, yeah, that just really hits home hard. And I actually started crying as well, because I guess you just really understand the impact, you know, you're having. And, you know, to get, I suppose, high fives and hand, you know, handshakes is one thing, but to see a man just crying his eyes out with happiness, and he's just like, I am so happy that you're here. And yeah, just really hit home hard. And it'll be something I won't ever, you know, I'll always live with, you know, just the, yeah, just so happy to, you know, be able to share that. He was just, you know, so we, you know, we had a, you know, had a hug, and I hugged it out, and I said, it'll, you know, everything will be okay. It'll, you know, hang in there. But yeah, he was just crying his eyes out with happiness, and it just really hit home hard. So nah, just super happy to be serving food, and you know, happy to, you know, help him out.
Yeah, testament to the work that you, Cara, and the girls have been doing.
Yeah, I can't really put it in any other words. But it was just, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's been interesting on this, you know, talking with you throughout the journey, is that so many people, by doing this work, you've touched, you know, the people that have actually received the food, those that are homeless or in need, the people that are continually serving those people day in, day out throughout the years within their communities. And more recently, I've noticed even on socials, there's been a lot of people reaching out to say, you know, you're coming to our town, you're coming to our town, and things like that. And I've noticed it. You've responded to those. So, you know, the work that you've done in the Smoke and Soul Project has struck a chord with a lot of people. And I think that gentleman, obviously, you know, was at a point where, by having somebody, as you've described before, from another part of Australia come to serve food for them and to care for them, is quite significant.
Yeah. I mean, the sad thing is I could head off around to 18 other towns and I would see all of this, you know, in every other stop. Like, it's getting worse and worse. And yeah, I've had lots of messages from people that, you know, are asking me to, you know, head to them and you know, help feed them. But obviously, I can't see everyone. But yeah, like I said, I could easily leave Adelaide all over again and do 18 other towns and feed another 1,000 heads. You know, yeah. It's just, it's, yeah.
Well, as we've spoken about, the body of work that you've done over these 2 months, you Karan the Girls, you're the ones that have seen it at the coalface for 18 stops over 2 months. And I think there's a common theme, as you've said, is that you could be doing anything, you could be serving anything. It's more about the fact that you're there present with these people, showing that there's somebody else that cares.
Yeah.
So week 7 done, your final week next week. Are you looking forward to that?
Yes and no. Looking forward to, I think the family's looking forward to heading home. I think the girls are looking forward to, you know, seeing all their friends. And, you know, we are looking forward to heading home, but we're also sad that, you know, this is almost over. You know, if only we could just, you know, continue to help and feed others. But yeah, you know, this was, you know, this had to end at some point. And so, you know, happy to be heading home, but also sad, you know, that it's, you know, it's over for now anyway, for now.
Yeah. So week
I'll say that.
Fair enough. So week 8's Broken Hill and then Port Pirie.
Yeah, so we got a couple of little overnight stops. There's a fair length of road between Tamworth and Broken Hill, so we're going to do a few just one night stopovers to make our way there. And then yeah, they are pumping this up in Broken Hill. I've had conversations with Feeding Friends who are doing regular food service, and they have been pumping this up. They have been really looking forward to having us. And then I suppose our final stop, Vinny's, Port Pirie, Fred's van. We finish where it all started with Fred's van in Adelaide, and we finish in Port Pirie with Vinny's and Fred's van up there.
Brilliant. Dave, take it easy on the roads and look forward to checking in with you next week for week 8.
Yep. Thanks a lot.
Thanks to Damien and Katrin and Barvin for sharing the work they do in their communities. And thank you for listening and following Dave and Cara's Smoke and Soul project. Please follow and share the podcast with your family, colleagues and friends. Dave and Cara off to Broken Hill and Port Pirie next week, the final week on the road for the Smoke and Soul project. I'm looking forward to your company then. I'm Wallace Long. Thanks for listening.